5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show.
5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock right here, baby.
Tomorrow, we're going to be live at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, our March Madness home, and what a treat it's going to be taken off the air on the Burns and Gambo show, and we have no problem with it whatsoever, because ASU is taking on Buffalo, a matchup of a 6 versus 11 tomorrow from Tulsa, Oklahoma. That game scheduled to tip off around 1 o'clock. It might end up being a little later when it's all said and done, but we're going to carry it live right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And the great thing, Bickley and Murata are going to be out there doing their show right before tip-off. We're going to be there doing our show right after the game. So it's just a great place to come hang out, watch the game. I'm sure the place is just going to be hopping tomorrow with all the tournament action. And now here's ASU. Their win over St. John's in the books last night. It was
a good win. It was a good win.
But it was also a frustrating win, wasn't it?
Of course. But you know, some of these wins are frustrating. You know, it's the tournament. There's pressure. They came out of the gates great. They built an 18-point lead. Dort was killing it. Cheatham was killing it. They weren't getting much from Remy Martin because he was hobbled. They built a big lead, and then they started to get a little sloppy with the ball, and they allowed St. John's to cut it to 7. Shamari Pond started to take over the game a little bit. But St. John's was awful. They couldn't shoot the 3. They couldn't shoot regular shots. They had like 16 turnovers. So, I mean, you know, in some ways, ASU's probably lucky that St. John's, you know, Chris Mullin said that was the worst game they played all year. Worst game they played all year was that game. You're not going to be Buffalo playing like that.
No.
You're not going to be many teams in the tournament playing like that. But I thought they played a really good first half. I thought they really took it to them. And I thought they let their foot off the pedal a little bit. They got a little comfortable with the lead. I think the technical that Bobby had at the end of the first half gave them a couple of free throws and, you know, maybe a little bit of momentum going into halftime.
It seemed like it kind of knocked ASU off the rails
maybe
there a little bit.
You go into halftime, I mean, you could have put that game away. You're up 18. You think if you can go in up 20, 22, 24, you bury him, it's done, and it's over. St. John's got it to 7, but I mean, I never felt that St. John's had a chance to win that game because anytime, you know, I mean, ASU just, they did have a big size advantage. They did inside. And then Romello White scored that basket to put him up by 9. And from that point on, they were just able to cruise.
It was amazing listening to the announcers during that game. In the second half, 10 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go, they kept saying over and over again, I cannot believe St. John's is only down by 7. And they said it 3 or 4 times. And it just because of how poorly St. John's was playing, how poorly they were shooting, how poorly they were shooting their free throws. They couldn't hit anything from 3. They were their discipline and their shot selection was really poor. Man, they were jacking up some deep shots and yet despite all of that, because of ASU's very sloppy brand of basketball they were playing in the second half. I mean, ASU had more turnovers in the second half than they had made shots.
They made 8 shots.
They made 8 shots. They had 13 turnovers in the second half alone.
Yeah. No, they didn't play well.
So, look, you and I watch a lot of games for a living, and a lot of times I just kind of watch the games. Last night I was watching that game, and my wife was trying to talk to me about something.
What was she trying to talk to you about?
I don't even remember because I was watching the game.
They talk and we don't listen.
But normally I'm much more attentive. That game had me so uncharacteristically frustrated. It just drove me nuts watching ASU seemingly try to lose that game by death of 1,000 paper cuts. You know, they were just doing everything they could to just,
they were in jeopardy of losing the game? I didn't.
Of losing the game, no, but of a game that was once an 18-point lead becoming, they were just 2 possessions away from turning that into a 1 possession game. Was I afraid that they were going to turn that into a 1 possession game? Hell yeah, it was. That game was trending rapidly towards being a 1 possession game in the last 4 minutes. Scared me to death.
And then the announcers had to remind us that ASU had an 8-point lead over Syracuse last year in the first 4 games.
I know.
When they mentioned that, I was like, that's when I started getting a little nervous.
I never thought they were going to lose, but man, one more turnover, one missed shot, one bad shot, and now it's a 1 possession game, and at that point, anything can happen.
Sure.
I mean, absolutely anything, but look, the flip side of that coin is that this time of year, and it's cliche, but it's true, survive in advance, survive in advance, survive in advance. You think Auburn right now is kicking itself for how it beat New Mexico State.
No. They should have lost the game. New Mexico
five
State.
Five times over, they should have lost that game today.
I lost the Sweet 16 team right there.
Yeah, although New Mexico State.
Kid goes to the free throw line, three shots to win the game, and he misses two out of the three.
But that wasn't even the play. The play was before the guy who had the wide open layup, who kicked the ball out to the three-point shooter, who got fouled on the three-point shot and missed two of the three. I mean, he had a wide open layup, and he passed it out to the guy.
And then they foul, and then they get the ball back with 1.1 second left because Auburn knocks it out of bounds, and they get up a terrible shot.
If you haven't,
shoots an air ball.
If you didn't see it. Just watch the highlights of New Mexico State Auburn. I mean, it just like gouge your eyeballs out with a spoon, kind of frustrating because New Mexico State just had 100 chances. Buffalo features one of the top 25 players in the country in C.J. Massenburg.
Yeah, he's legit.
He was listed as one of the 25 guys on ESPN.
The other guard is the other guard's like 6'7", and he's a scoring machine. So they've got a couple of really good guards. This will be a difficult game. I mean, you got to remember, ASU played last night, then they traveled. They got in at 4 o'clock in the morning. You get one day to recover from the game and the travel. And then, so this is two trips they've made. You remember this because they had to go to Ohio and now Tulsa.
Yes.
So two trips within a couple of days, one day to recover, a day that you actually got in at 4 o'clock in the morning and you play tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's not like tomorrow's a late game. Tomorrow's an early game.
Bobby Hurley on how he feels after the win this morning on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I mean, I felt very good during the game. I felt like, you know, at about 20 different times that we had won the game, you know, and then we might do something a little bit, you know, uncharacteristic in the second half, you know, with handling that pressure. So we, you know, have to do a better job of that. And, you know, continuing to try and get Remy to 100% is going to be key, you know, in that department because, you know, Buffalo is going to, you know, their guards are really, really good and had a chance to watch a couple of their games last night on the plane. And, you know, I followed them this year and they could really pressure the ball. So, you know, our guards playing at an elite level is going to be, you know, a key thing going into tomorrow's game.
Buffalo is basically considered, they are in the net ratings, they are the fourth highest ranked mid-major program in America behind Gonzaga, Houston, and Wofford. They're number 15 in the net ratings. Looking at the tournament right now,
Remy is. I'm going to try to find out.
Yeah, he didn't look so great last night. He had a season high 6 turnovers in last night's game. Tournament glance real quick. 10th seeded Florida is beating Nevada 44-33. 16 minutes
it's
to go in that game.
To be a Florida Gator.
Unless you pick Nevada to go to the Sweet 16,
Nevada,
which you did.
I had
it's
Nevada
not
in the
great
Sweet 16.
To be a Florida
I'm going to lose my third Sweet 16 team before the show
it's
even ends.
It's a really bad day for you. Kentucky is beating Abilene Christian 39-13 at the half. No shock there. Gonzaga beating Farley Dickinson.
No,
you didn't.
I did not.
42-17 in the first half. So the one seeds are taking care of business.
Gators are killing Nevada.
The big upset today, and it wasn't even that big. It was a 12-5, and it was a very predicted 12-5. Murray State beat Marquette. Ja Morant had a triple-double, introduced himself to the country today with a triple-double in his first tournament game. It was
so
something
I'm hearing
to watch.
That Remy did nothing today on purpose. They'll just let him go tomorrow.
Probably
so
makes sense.
Nothing today. They just kind of gave him the day. He didn't have to do any of the walkthroughs. He just kind of gave him the day to kind of get ready.
So again, as I mentioned at the top of the segment, join us right after Bickley and Murata tomorrow. Marley's and Chandler. We kick off the first round of the NCAA tournament. Santan Ford, Schwartz Laser Eye Center. We'll be giving away tickets and prizes, watching the madness unfold. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Go to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for details. Paul Gold. Schmidt is getting a new long-term deal with the St. Louis Cardinals, and after seeing the price tag, we can't help but ask, why couldn't the Diamondbacks have given him that? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Well, we're going to talk about Paul Goldschmidt here in a minute. And technically, we did learn today what his new contract with his new team, the St. Louis Cardinals, looks like. But I got to give it up to my co-host, Gambo, because he was the first in the country to report that the Suns are signing Jimmer Fredette. And that is definitely what we learned today. I guess what I think I really learned about the Suns signing Jimmer Fredette was that Jimmer Fredette is still apparently a thing.
Jimmer Fredette, nothing but net.
Right?
You know,
I learned today.
I actually was talking to my wife last night as we were going to sleep, and She hates that I bring my iPad to bed sometimes, but I like to just check things before I go to bed. I go, hey, I got to show you this highlight video of this kid, because we got wind that they were meeting with Jimmer Fredette. And so I showed her, like, I just Jimmer Fredette highlights, and I showed her these highlights. She goes, how come every one of his shots just goes straight through the net? It doesn't, like, touch the rim. I'm like, she noticed that. I made her watch, like, a highlight film of Jimmer Fredette, and what she noticed is that every single shot he takes it just hits the net.
Touches nothing of
the
rim.
Like, it never hits the backboard. Yeah. It never hits the rim. It never bounces up and down. It's just swish, 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 swish,
nothing
swish,
but net.
Swish, swish. No, but it's just that, like, I swear, if you call up the Jimmer Fredette highlight film, it's, like, I don't know, 8-10 minutes long. Every basket just hit. It doesn't hit. It touches the net. That's all.
So that was our knowledge drop today. I have to give it up to Gambo because when we talked about it yesterday possibly happening, I thought, oh, okay, Jimmer Fredette, you know, whatever. But apparently Jimmer Fredette is still very much a thing, because it has been a national story with a national reaction to it, and I was not expecting that at all.
He can go Will Ferrell. I'm a big deal around
him. Yeah, we'll talk more about Jimmer Fredette. But we got to talk about this Paul Goldschmidt deal. Because that was something else that was knowledge that was dropped on us today. At first, and the news came down about a half hour before our show, we were prepping for the show in here, kind of mapping things out. Ken Rosenthal tweeted out that the St. Louis Cardinals were close on an extension with Paul Goldschmidt. And I asked you guys to guess, and none of you guys were even close. He reported at least 5 years and at least $110 million. Now, he put that language in there specifically, because then about a half hour later, Jeff Passan of ESPN said, okay, Ken Rosenthal was on the news first, but here's the real details. 5-year extension worth about $130 million for Paul Goldschmidt in St. Louis, and that doesn't include this year. Like, he's going to play this year under the $14.5 million. The 5-year extension will kick in next year. I tweeted that out, and universally across the board, Diamondback fans were like, oh, come on, man. We could have kept him for that, right? We could have kept him for that.
That's the first thing you think
about. That's the first thing you think about, but that's not necessarily
how this went down. It's just not reality. It's a year ago, the numbers were different. It was the time, the market was different, the numbers were different. A year ago, when Paul Goldschmidt's agent, you know, and the Diamondbacks had discussions on an extension, you were talking about $175 million in extra money on top of the 2 years that were remaining for $25 million. It was $200 million. But it was the 2 years that were left at 11 and 14, and then 5 years at 175. So how much is 5 into 175? Is that $35 million, if I got that right?
I believe so, yes. Yes,
so $35 million a year for his age 33, 34, 35, 36, and 37. $35 million a year for a... You still would have had the 2 years at 11 and 14, but then at age 33, you would have started a 5-year contract paying him about $35 million a year over 5 years. There wasn't a scenario which you could have got him for 130. A year ago. Didn't exist. It wasn't an option. The agent never brought it up. There was never a chance. It started at $200 million total. And that was it. I mean, so to think that there was, the Diamondbacks should have done it. They didn't have the opportunity to. It wasn't available.
Yeah, and the deal he's getting now is going to pay him about $26 million a year, which is, you know, about $10 million instead of 35.
Right? 26 instead of 35. Like, it's unrealistic to think that the Diamondbacks could have done that. It's just the money was different a year ago.
Look, there's a lot of things going on here. I mean, first of all, the Diamondbacks obviously have a lot of money tied into Zach Greinke and Yasmani Tomas. That Tomas deal continues just to be this giant albatross around the organization's neck. It keeps them from doing some things that they could possibly do.
800 in spring training.
There's no place for him to play. I mean, it's funny that you keep bringing that up. Are you really of the opinion that Yasmani Tomas should be on this 25-man roster? I mean, seriously? Do you really believe that?
I wouldn't mind.
Because you keep bringing up his spring numbers like that's like some the end-all be-all when it comes to Yasmani Tomas. Do you want him on this roster?
I mean, I feel like he could be a bench guy. I feel like he could be a role guy off the bench, a hitter off the bench. I mean, the guy hit 450 in spring training. I mean, what else do you want him to do?
It's just
I'm not asking the guy to be an everyday player.
I mean,
that's what he has to prove himself. Like, that's what he has.
But he's also had years where he's been a major league player to prove himself, and the numbers weren't overwhelming enough to... Yeah, I mean, it's not like that's the only data we've got for Yasmani Tomas. We got 3 years worth of major league
playing. Well, he can't play defense, but he can hit. I mean, even with the Diamondbacks, you know, you go look at his the one year he had good numbers. He hit well. The kid The kid can hit. He's just, he can't play any defense.
Back to Goldie. Here's the thing about it. All right. The times have changed in Major League Baseball. All right. A year ago, that might have been what Goldie wanted from the Diamondbacks. A year later, that's not what Goldie's going to get from the St. Louis Cardinals. Ian Snell won the AL Cy Young Award with the Tampa Bay Rays. All right. He's young. He's 26. Blake Snell. 5-year, $50 million contract extension with the Tampa Bay Rays today. He had a 1.89 ERA last year. He won 21 games.
He got 5 years and $50
million. 5 years and $50 million. The money, the players are quickly realizing that those dollars just aren't going to be there
unless
when they hit free
Mike
agency.
Trout or Bryce Harper.
Unless you're named Mike Trout, Manny Machado, or Bryce Harper. Those dollars just aren't there. So Snell gets $50 million, and a lot of people
are
like...
How many years? He got a five-year deal?
Five-year deal.
So he'll be 31 when he hits free agency.
Yeah.
He got $50
million. Now, he might think he's going to make another deal 5 years from now, but that to me seems like he's settled.
Okay, he's 26 years old. This is the problem that I have sometimes. He just got $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's 26. I've always, always, always heard, never turn down your first big contract.
Sure. It's like
your
Paul Goldschmidt didn't turn down his big
one.
Don't
turn down, because you never know what could happen. What if the kid has an injury, or what if he doesn't pitch poorly? He's got $50 million for the rest of his life, no matter what.
Okay, but the thing about this is, all the numbers aside, emotionally, and a lot of our audience reacting to this on Twitter kind of basically said the same thing. Man, it just sort of feels like that the girl you broke up with fell madly in love with somebody else 2 weeks later. And you're just sort of like, oh, but wait, I thought we, you know, I mean, to watch Goldie sign long-term with the St. Louis Cardinals that quickly, it just sort of feels like emotionally, like you just got your heart ripped out of your chest a little bit.
You want her to take a little time before she starts dating seriously?
It just all happened, you know, here's the tweet. These reports about Goldie have me feeling like when my high school sweetheart fell super crazy, stupid, madly in love with some other dude like 2 weeks after we broke up. Yeah! That's kind of how I feel, too, about this.
You got dumped and she went for somebody else 2 weeks later.
I kind of feel like, and not that it's Goldie's fault, but you just look at the numbers and it hurts a little bit because it feels affordable. It feels like something you could have done.
Listen,
it feels like something that could have worked.
And you're right. And if that number was a real number last year, maybe they would have got a deal done. Hey, $25 million for 5 years instead of $35 million for 5 years. Maybe they could have got something done. But $25 million a year was never on the table for the Diamondbacks last year. It was never an option. 25, 27, 30, 32, what? It was $35 million or forget about it.
Yeah, I got to play this real quick. Torrey Lovello today was asked if he saw Goldie's new deal.
I am not.
It's 5 years, $130 million reported.
Huh.
Huh.
Of course he saw his new deal.
Huh.
He just doesn't want to comment on it. Which I don't blame him.
And then later he basically said, I don't want to comment on it. Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. I'm happy for him. That's all you can say. You know, wish him the best. He was a great Diamondback. You know, I mean, yeah. we're gonna root for him every time he plays, except when he plays us. That's all you got to say.
Once upon a time, he was the most talked about player in college basketball. But now that he's back in the NBA with the Suns, what should we expect out of Jimmer Fredette? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Suns news galore as they get ready to take on the Pistons. Some of it has to do with the team now. Some of it has to do with the team later. Let's start with the news.
Who are they taking on tonight?
Oh, wow. The Suns are taking on the Detroit Pistons tonight.
And what does that mean for the Pistons?
Bad news for the Pistons!
Bad news for the Pistons!
That's the first time I've seen this in person with you guys.
Get out. Seriously?
Normally it's Sarah that's here, and I guess you haven't done it on Thursdays, Gambo.
That's the first time you've ever seen that.
He was excited.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall right now.
Yeah. That's a theme from, if anybody's ever watched the original Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau, that's where it came from. What's it mean for the Yankees? Bad news for the Yankees!
I like the Billy Bob Thornton version better.
Oh my God, that was awful.
So you can, you can leave now.
That's
awful. You can collect your things in a box and we'll send you your last check in the mail.
The worst remake ever was the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is an absolute disaster. Worst movie ever.
I like the Billy Bob Thornton version better. It's Spencer, we'll have a happy hour, going away happy hour now for you tomorrow night. Congratulations on your radio
bad
career.
News Bears.
That's fine. I'll see you guys at Marley's then if that's the case.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, so let's go through everything that's kind of making news in and around the Suns. Let's try and get as much of it as we can.
You drive. I'll follow.
Jimmer Fredette is now a member of the Phoenix Suns. The coincidence of this happening on the first day of March Madness is just staggering. I mean, he's like the quintessential March Madness guy,
right? Blew up everywhere nationally. ESPN, Sports Illustrated, Yahoo. I mean, everybody was picking up our story on ArizonaSports.com that we broke on Jimmer. And I'm surprised at how big of a story it is. I mean, assigning a guy for the final 10 days of the season. The guy was playing in China. But he was such a big star in college at BYU. And here in Arizona, let's be honest, we have a really big Mormon population, you know, out in the East Valley. A lot of people that went to BYU have ties to BYU. They're going to love this kid. This kid is beloved. He's beloved. He's got Tim Tebow-like characters with him. He's just loved. So it's going to be exciting to see him play, what the expectations are. I agree with you. You're probably not expecting a whole lot for a guy that may play 15 minutes a game, but they're going to rest Jamal Crawford a little bit down the stretch in these final games, and Kelly Oubre's out, so they're down a player. He's going to get some chances to play. I believe his first game is going to be against the Utah Jazz.
I'm intrigued. How can you not be? He's Jimmer Fredette. He's been in China for the last couple of years. The last time we saw Jimmer Fredette in an NBA uniform, he was on a 10-day contract with the New York Knicks. He averaged about 6 points per game.
Right.
Okay, so he's had I'd like to think that if Jimmer Fredette were a legit option to stick, that he would have stuck by now. He's 30 years old. He's not some kid, right? I mean, nope. He was the number 10 pick in, what, the 2011 draft? Yep. Or was it 2012? 2011 draft.
10th overall pick by Sacramento. Came in with a lot of fanfare, but there were people that believed like, defensively, he's just, you know, he wasn't the most athletic kid, and
he can shoot.
He can shoot. He can shoot. You can put a blindfold on him and he'll make 9 out of 10 shots. The kid could just shoot, flat out shoot.
And he is a lot of fun to watch, but is he a fundamentally sound enough basketball player to contribute? I think the chances of him being a relevant part of this team next year, and he's on basically a 2-year deal, but next year's a team option. So it's basically a free 10-game look at Jimmer Fredette to see if he can help.
Nothing to lose.
Right, there's nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
I think it's less than 5% that he's an integral 15-minute-plus guy for the Suns next year. I think it's less than 5%.
I think it's higher than that just because they're going to lose Troy Daniels. They're going to lose Bender. They're probably going to lose Jamal Crawford. They're going to have an opening for some guys. You need some guys that that could play at the end of the bench that don't cost a lot of money, and he does add shooting. He could come in, and if he plays 15 minutes a game, he might be able to knock down some shots and help you.
But it is amazing to me that Jimmer Fredette still moves the needle the way he does. I was not expecting that at all.
Shocked at how big that story got.
Kelly Oubre's season is done. He's going to have surgery on his thumb. It's a shame because he obviously has given the Suns a spark in so many ways, especially since he's moved into the starting lineup. You and I both agree we're not about tanking. We're not about losing. We're not about wanting to lose. Kelly Oubre has been a big, big, big part of why they've been able to win games the last few weeks. So I don't want to see him be out for the rest of the season, but he is. And now I guess the question is, has he played his last game as a member of the Phoenix Suns organization?
I really don't think so. But, we had Kevin Pelton on, and he was thinking the number might be $9 to $10 million. Man, my information is so much different than his information. My information is more like 15, like right, and maybe even more than 15 million dollars for Kelly Oubre if you sign him to a deal. I don't think you're getting Kelly Oubre for 4 years and $36 million. I just don't think you are. He said 9 or 10 or 4 years and $40 million. I think Kelly Oubre's earned a much bigger contract than that. Now, take the chance. He goes into restricted free agency. Somebody could give him an offer. You match it. But I just don't think it's going to be for $9 to $10 million a year, Burns. I think it's going to be much higher.
I do wonder if he's the kind of restricted free agent that teams don't make an offer to because they're convinced the Suns are going to match anything that comes down the pike, and that will limit the amount of offers.
Worry about the poison pill offer. It's out there. A lot of teams have a way to put it. It's called a poison pill. You make an offer and you front load it or you back load it, or you just try to make it difficult for the team with looking at their future salaries to be able to match the offer. So if you really want Kelly Oubre bad, there's ways to try to make it difficult for the Suns.
Either way, he has said that he really wants to be here. He sees himself here long term. We'll kind of see how it all goes. You and I both agree Kelly Oubre is a guy this team needs to keep. In the meantime, something happened in the tournament today. Ja Morant had a triple-double in Murray State's win over Marquette. 17 points, 16 assists, 11 rebounds. Yeah, he had 7 turnovers, and he has to work on that part of his game. But for a lot of the basketball-watching nation that has seen his name, seen his highlights, but not really watched him play, in some ways, today was a little bit of a coming-out party for Ja Morant. And because of that, listen to this soundbite from Tim Legler this morning on the Golic Wingo Show.
All year it's been Zion Barrett.
Right.
You know, 1-2. I'm going, man, first of all, for me, it's Morant 2, clearly. And I'm telling you, if I need a point guard, if I'm one of those teams, like if I'm Phoenix, I'm sitting there looking at Ja Morant for a long time if I have the first pick.
Before you take Zion.
I think he's right
really?
There
wow.
with him neck and neck, where you're not going to go wrong with either one of those guys.
One of the dumbest things ever said by an analyst in the history of the NBA. One of the dumbest things that any analyst has ever said. No, I love Tim Legler. Love him. Great guy. Know him well. That's one of the dumbest things that somebody could say. You're going to take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson? You're an idiot.
No way.
You're an idiot.
There's just no way the Suns would do that.
You might as well just hand in your resignation papers after you make the pick.
Zion Williamson.
I'm firing you if I'm the owner and you come back with Ja Morant over Zion Williamson.
In addition to being a terrific basketball player and a tremendous prospect, is like a walking ATM machine.
This is a one-player draft, okay? Let's just get this. It's a one-player draft. There's other players that you can get that can help your teams down the road, R.J. Barrett and Ja Morant, but this is a one-player draft.
I mean, at this point, honestly, I'm hoping the Suns just finish high enough in the draft lottery to be able to get Ja Morant. I mean, look, there's a chance they could finish what?
I'd like him to.
Fifth? Sixth?
I'd like Ja Morant. And listen, he played a very unathletic Marquette team today. They have no athleticism. He took advantage of it. He played great. He had a great game. He had a triple-double. He played really well. The kids turned the ball over a lot against weak competition in his conference all year long. He's probably not as highly rated as Trae Young was last year coming out, and that's just the truth. Trae Young last year was more highly touted and a better prospect than Ja Morant is this year. That's reality.
Man, I'm going to start calling you the dream killer.
No, it's good. I'm not saying he's not good.
Gambo, the dream slayer.
I'm just trying
slayer.
To be realistic. He might be a good player in this league. He might be.
I'll take your dreams and I'll stab them to death.
I think he'll be good, but he's not coming in here next year and, you know, winning Rookie of the Year.
Almost everybody is expecting the Cardinals to take Kyler Murray with the number one pick, but if or when they do, it's going to set off a domino effect throughout the rest of the NFL. We'll tell you how, and we'll update the tournament as well next on the Burns and Gambo Show. This Ja Morant story is just getting funnier and funnier by the day. Jordan was telling me, I'm looking up Sports Illustrated's Twitter account right now. Sports Illustrated, let's see, what does it say here? Ja Morant recorded only the 9th triple-double in NCAA tournament history and the first since Draymond Green in 2012. And apparently Ja Morant retweeted it with, "Relax, I'm not done yet." There you go. There's Ja Morant. Murray State.
If he comes here, we can sing that song. What was that song? Jamoni. Remember Jam On It?
Jam On It.
Jamoni.
For Ja Morant.
Yeah. I think that was the name of the song, right? But they didn't say it like Jam On. It was like Jamoni. Remember three words to the whack. Step yourself back. Just getting down and you're giving no slack. Like a Burger King with a sack of Big Macs. We're throwing down with the radical sacks. Okay, Jamoni. Okay.
Time out on the floor. Coach, I need a 20. Yeah. I'm calling a 20-second timeout right now.
Yeah, never heard that song?
Oh, no, I did hear that song. There's no way you know the words to that song without looking it up. Okay, thank God. Because if you knew that off the top of your head.
No, I looked at these ones.
I'm going to join Spencer Keatsman in the unemployment line. I'm out of here.
I know the Sugar Hill Gang.
I know you know. Yeah, a lot of people know the Sugar Hill Gang. Yeah, you've done that for us before. But you had to look that up, right?
Throw your hands up in the air, shake your booty, and scream, oh, yeah, Jamoni.
Ja Morant. I'm not really sure how Gambo got Jam on it out of Jam Ja Morant, but he did. The NCAA tournament rolls on.
I don't know. It's been a long day.
It really
has.
You
night.
Know what?
It's been a lot of information. My brain's on overload right now. Getting Diamondbacks and Cardinals and
you've had Suns it's been a good day. You've had a good day. You had the Jimmer Fredette news before anybody else. You had the very interesting nugget about Paul Goldschmidt and the contract extension that he's about to get with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's going to be 5 years, $130 million, which sounds like something the Diamondbacks could have afforded. You found it out that what he wanted from the Diamondbacks was a 5-year, $175 million contract extension. And that contract extension he got from St. Louis was not what he was asking for from the Diamondbacks before he left. So that was not a deal the Diamondbacks could have had, which is I know what a lot of Diamondback fans are feeling about that Goldie extension at 5-year, $130 million.
Yeah, and then Filan's the competition that the Cardinals had to get Filan, which was the Chargers and the Patriots were really, really hard on him too. Casey Wilcox just said, has Gambo been drinking? Casey Wilcox, our good friend at the D-backs.
No,
I don't drink.
This is a natural high that Gambo is on, Casey.
I don't drink. It's just I'm brain overload right now.
The updates.
Gamboni!
Just settle down over there. Florida is beating Nevada by 9 points because you've got Nevada in the Sweet 16.
To beat a Florida Gator.
Seriously, you need to calm down. You really need to calm down over there. 58-49, Florida is beating Nevada. Kentucky is beating Abilene Christian 65-31, about 7 minutes to go in that game.
I did not take Abilene Christian.
Gonzaga is all over Fairleigh Dickinson 65-31 with 13 minutes to go in that game. A lot of one-seed, two-seed kind of dominance going on. Florida poised for a little bit of an upset, a 10 beating a 7.
Nevada's going to come back and win this game.
Well, you better hope so. You've got Nevada in your Sweet 16.
They're going to come back and win.
The big upset of the day, and I don't even know if I'd call it that, would be Ja Morant and the 12th seeded Murray State Racers beating Marquette today, but it's 12 versus a 5, and those things happen. They happen quite a bit.
Yeah,
so
I think the 12 versus a 5 at New Mexico State.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't really work out for you.
I never get the 12-5. I always get it wrong.
Kind of an off day when it comes to Kyler Murray speculation and Kyler Murray talk, though it should be noted that there was a really kind of interesting take on the whole thing today, and I think it came from Sports Illustrated or I can't remember which website it was now. I'm looking for it right now because I know it was included in your email, but it basically was a domino effect that could take place if the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray number one overall. And there it is, SB Nation. 10 dominoes that could fall if the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray.
One doesn't make any sense, but a lot of them do make sense. So I'll let you run through them.
I'll run through them real quick because we've only got a few minutes left. Number one, the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray. Okay. Let's say that happens.
Yeah, good chance that could happen.
Number two, the Giants then acquire Josh Rosen from the Cardinals for the 37th pick overall in the draft.
Could live with that. It's a second-round pick early in the second round. You're hoping for a little better, but could be worse. I think we could. That's a salvage situation.
The Raiders stand pat at number four, even though the Dolphins might want to move up and get a quarterback at number four, and they end up taking one of the three best defensive players that are left, either Bosa, Williams, or Allen.
Yeah.
Number four, the Buccaneers get an elite defensive talent at number five. Okay.
Bruce Arians is going to take a defensive guy?
The Giants get defensive help from the next very good level of draft talent, a guy like Rashawn Gary of Michigan or Devin Bush or Devin White.
Well, if they're getting Rosen with their second-round pick, then they clearly don't have to take a quarterback. They did work out Haskins, the Ohio State kid, but they wouldn't need to draft him if they were making a trade for Josh Rosen.
They then believe the Jaguars would trade back from number 7 with the Dolphins, who would move up to take Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins.
So once the Giants don't take Haskins, the Dolphins get on the horn and they make a trade.
The Broncos take Drew Lock with the 10th pick of the draft.
Could needing see a that. Quarterback of the future. I still think the Broncos need to get a quarterback of the future. The quarterback they have right now is like 35 years old.
The Jags select one of the Iowa tight ends at 13. Okay, that's fine. I don't really care that much about that. Washington chooses not to pick Daniel Jones at number 15 and instead drafts Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma
wide receiver
instead. And then here's the one that doesn't really jive, especially if the Giants have acquired Josh Rosen already from the Cardinals for the 37th pick overall. Number 10. The Giants think very, very hard about selecting Daniel Jones at number 17, but instead get extra defensive help instead. Why would they,
they wouldn't
need to
consider
think very, very hard about Daniel Jones at 17 if they've traded for Josh Rosen?
You're not. I mean, you're not. You're not, you know, there's no way that happens. Unless you get there to 17 and then you don't take Jones, you draft somebody else, and then you make the trade. And then you make the trade after you don't take Jones, you make the trade with the Cardinals.
At the end of the day, the thing that intrigues me is the idea of the Dolphins trading up to 7 with the Jags to get Haskins if he's still there. And then, most importantly, the idea that it could be number 37 overall from the Giants for Josh Rosen, which at the end of the day, I'd love a first rounder, but I think 37 is a price I can live with for Josh Rosen if that's the direction they go.
Yeah, that's an interesting domino effect. If the Cardinals do take Murray, about how everything else kind of falls for everyone else. And Nevada's cut it to 5. 5.5 minutes left. Nevada's only down 5.
Not bad. They're making a
7-0 run by Nevada.
Don't forget tomorrow, we're at Marley's and Chandler, brought to you by Sansan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. Come watch the ASU game with us. It tips off at 1 o'clock. We'll be on immediately afterwards. 30-minute version of the Rundown with Spencer Keatsman is next. We'll see you tomorrow after the ASU game at Marley's here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Have a good night, everyone.